Three Steps Forward, Two Steps Back by Charles Swindoll. Chapter 4, Loss, Lonely Times of Crisis. As I write these words, an enormous fire is raging across a canyon about 30 miles north of my home. I have just turned off a televised newscast in which a couple was interviewed. They stood arm in arm, stunned. Their $250,000 home had just gone up in smoke. They had spent 11 years saving for and building their dream. In less than 30 minutes, it was reduced to a pile of smoldering ashes. Several states in the Southeast, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, have recently been ravaged by a devastating hurricane. Floods, vicious winds, and looters have taken their toll. The loss has been estimated at millions of dollars, perhaps half a billion in all. Just before coming home this evening, I spent about an hour with a woman whose husband died yesterday. Also, a member of the church had to be admitted to a local hospital this afternoon. He may lose his arm to cancer. It's easy to miss the things God has to teach us because we cannot imagine him being involved in the grief or disappointment or heartache brought on by the loss of someone or something dear to us. But some of his choicest deliveries come through the back doors of our lives. These unanticipated setbacks are spring on us, and often we're not ready to take them on in the particular package in which God delivers them. Therefore, it's easy to miss them. Losses come in two categories, generally speaking. The loss of those you love. Joe Bailey most unexpectedly lost three of his children to death, two of them while they were teenagers. He later wrote a book, The View from a Hearse, in which he talked about losing significant people. It was a blow. When my good friend, Joyce Landor, endured the pain of losing her precious mother, she shared the depth of her sorrow with us all in A Morning Song, one of her best books. But maybe you don't have the gift of expressing your loss so eloquently. The person you have lost might be a relative or a close friend or working partner, and you are experiencing that loss alone. You have lost that person either by death or by distance. Either way, you've lost him. You've enjoyed his fellowship and companionship, and suddenly by death or by his moving away, you no longer have him near. The person is no longer visibly present. This is one kind of loss that's hard to bear. Have you ever considered God's message in the loss of those you love? The loss of things you love. The second category is the loss of personal necessities or benefits, the loss of a job, the loss of a desire or a goal or a dream in life. We all have such dreams. Or should have, what would life be without dreams? The loss occurs, and suddenly, you know you will never realize the dream you've had in your heart. Job, a man who lost it all. In this chapter, we will look at the painfully familiar story of Job. He lost both people and things. It is easy to glamorize and immortalize this man who is known for his patience, according to James, the patience of Job. But I want you to feel with him the awful blow of his losses. Bear in mind that the Bible is a book of reality. That's the one thing that attracted me to it years ago. It doesn't glamorize the saints. It tells the truth about them. It paints them as they are. When they act as men as God, it reveals them as such. And when they fail, it discloses that. It doesn't hedge. Look at the list of Job's spiritual and material possessions. First of all, he had godliness. The scriptures say he was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Job chapter 1, verse 1. You can't get much better than that. He was an incredible man of God, a man who was greatly respected. Second, he had a large family. Seven sons and three daughters were born to him, 10 children in all. That's quite a quiverful. Third, he had abundant possessions, including 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and servants by the dozens. Fourth, he had prestige. The Hebrew text literally says Job was the heaviest of all the men of the East. That doesn't mean fat. It's an ancient expression meaning prosperous. He was notoriously popular. People knew about Job. Most biblical scholars believe that Job lived in the days of the patriarchs, that he was a contemporary of Abraham. His name was a household word.